cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, and I hope you're having a good day today as you practice social distancing, the coronavirus continuing on. And we have a special edition. Why is this edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon different than all previous editions of this dopey little podcast that we do? Because we pop our cherry for the first time. We have a guest, and I don't usually do guests on the overnight show. It's just me and a microphone and a bunch of crazy people calling up, and that's the way we've done it. But there's only a few people I really want to talk to, and one of them we have on today, the great Lenny Dykstra. And I love Lenny. Now, I don't know how you would not know who Lenny is if you're listening to a plausibly a sports-based podcast, but I have ranted for years that life is all about the stories, right? It's all about the stories, the people you meet, the places you go along the road of life. And nobody has more stories in the world of baseball than Lenny Dykstra. This guy was part of the 1986 Mets, the biggest frat boy team in my life, the 86 Mets. He became the Incredible Hulk on steroids. In fact, he was such an Incredible Hulk that he's the last player. At 5'9", Lenny Dykstra was the last player in Major League Baseball to lead the league in both hits and walks the same season when he was all roided up with the Philadelphia Phillies in the early 90s. He ran car washes for a while, and we didn't even get into that. Wrote a book. He's been to jail. He was considered a Wall Street tycoon at one point. He lost everything, went to prison, drug rehab, the whole thing. And we even touch on his Howard Stern interview, his famous Howard Stern interview from a couple of years ago. But I would say the highlights of what you have to look forward to, and Gascon, you can touch this up if you want. I think the part where he tells a story about Barry Bonds that I had not heard before, and he delves into Donald Trump as well, and something that the president of the United States is apparently planning to do to help Lenny Dykstra out.
Everything that we went through reminds me of the summer of 2019 when you told me to watch the Al Jazeera documentary on steroid and performance-enhancing drugs, because from talking to him, he was ahead of the curve and he was one step ahead of everybody else during his time. He was truly a pioneer.
Yeah, and I had not heard the story. Maybe he wrote about it. I didn't see in his book, but he told the story about how he first stumbled into steroids, and it's a fascinating. It involves a public library in Mississippi, is what it involves, which is just crazy. So I don't want to give it away. I don't want to spoil it. It is amazing. Give it up now for the man, the myth, the legend, Lenny Dykstra. And we began by asking Lenny his thoughts on the current situation involving the coronavirus.
I'm not freaked out, and I don't think it's bullshit. So, I mean, you know, today they announced there's over 1,000 deaths now in the United States. But, I mean, the bottom line is when there's uncertainty, people just don't know what to do, and that's where the panic comes. You know, life is about trying to get yourself in a predictable situation, whether you're playing baseball and trying to get ahead in the count or anything else in life. And this is so unpredictable. So it's something like we're in kind of uncharted waters, you know?
Yeah. Now, have you been out shopping? Because I've noticed when I've gone to the store, and I've only had to do it a couple times the last week because I've been staying home, but and I think you're in California as I am, but people like give you these weird looks. Like maybe not you because they might know who you are, but me, they like give you these death stares. Like they treat you like you got the plague or something. Like it's crazy. Have you experienced any of that?
You know, that's how I feel when I get my Adderall filled at the prescription at the pharmacy. You know, they look at me like I'm fucking like getting heroin or something. But I have, and people are scared. But I'm not scared. I haven't had a cold in 25 fucking years, man. I'm bulletproof, dude. And I mean, obviously, I've had some ups and downs. I think it would be fair to say.
Yeah, you had a couple, a few. You've had a bumpy. Speaking of the bumpy ride, though, Lenny. What now? When you tweeted out that you were going to come on and do the podcast, and I was excited. Thank you for that. Immediately, the trolls. Do you enjoy the trolls, Lenny? They were all over you, busting your balls on Twitter. You must enjoy that, right? That's the play.
Well, I mean,
for the trolls.
That's what it's all about. I mean, you got to have the. I mean, remember, I was voted the most hated player in the league 5 years in a row by the opposing team. And that's because I made their job fucking hard. And like I told my teammates, I see you talking to the other team, we're fighting. Okay? We're playing for real fucking money. And so when we go on the road, here's what we do. We go to their house, we take their money, and we fuck their women. And that's how we roll. Okay? And so yeah, I mean, there's haters, but the bottom line is they don't know me. They know nothing about me. Okay? And so I don't give a fuck. I mean, I just tell the truth. That's how I roll.
Lenny, you mentioned being bulletproof. There's a fascination going on right now here in Los Angeles that most of the gun stores are out of ammunition. What kind of self-protection do you have right now?
All I have is, my nickname is Nail, so I got a hammer. That's about it. I've never shot a gun before, man. You're talking to a guy that had one friend in high school, and the only reason I had one friend is so I need somebody to play catch with, you know? The bottom line is, you know, you have all this stuff, and then you have things like Ron Darling, this guy that, you know, wrote this book full of lies, and you know, the press kind of everyone bought into this cancer bullshit, he says, and that's going to be the next virus, the Ron Darling virus.
Hey, Lenny, I got to follow up on that. I was going to ask you about that anyway. Like I did some BS monologues on the radio about that when that story came out, and you sued Ron Darling, and somebody put the video up, the raw feed from that World Series game at Fenway, and I couldn't hear anything that he had claimed that you said.
Oh, yeah.
How is that? But Lenny, how's the lawsuit going, though? Has that been settled?
Oh, yeah, well, it's bigger than the lawsuit, though, hey, Ben. I mean, like, I haven't really went public and said this before, but because your star's on the rise, and in fact, I was talking to one of your main guys at iHeart yesterday, Matthew Schultz, cool as hell. But Ron Darling, there's a lot more of that story than a defamation lawsuit. Okay, it could be the biggest story since the juice got loose, you know.
Really, and are you?
Oh yeah. There's some.
Tell me more.
I mean, all you got to do is go back and look at the coincidence. I think not. Okay, and again, why would he pick me to make it? Why do you want to make the last motherfucker you want to make an enemy of is me? Okay. Because and that's what he did, and so and now there's I have, you know, documented facts of what really happened, and so someone's gonna pay. It ain't gonna be me.
But that's still going through the legal process, right, Lenny? It's still
legal. But like I said, this is way bigger than the legal process. Yeah. This is about the integrity of the game, which is the most important thing than Major League Baseball. So. Yeah. Somebody's going to have to do something here quick, or like I said, this will make this coronavirus look like children's play.
Lenny, is he, you know, the 86 Mets, a legendary team, of course, but is he like the guy, obviously you don't like him now, but is there anybody else that you don't get along with on that team, or everyone else still, you guys still?
No, we got along great. No one liked him. You know, we call him Mr. P. I nicknamed him Mr. P, you know, Mr. Perfect, because you know, he went to Yale, and plus I give him credit for getting away with that shit he had for 12 years the last in the big leagues. I mean, he had nothing on the ball but his fucking hands. But at the end of the day, when you fucking lie, okay, or when you tell lies, and then you have to start covering them lies up, okay, you know, you start getting doors start opening that you never thought would open. And that's why I just tell the fucking truth. A lot of people don't like me for that, but guess what? I don't give a fuck. That's how I roll. You know, I'm a man of the people.
Lenny, you talk about the game of baseball real quick. How clean do you think it is compared to the early 2000s or late 90s?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's as clean as it gets. There's definitely no drugs in baseball, meaning you'll have a fringe player that's going to be released or something that might, you know, amp up and do this last hurrah. But overall, they've cleaned up. The drugs are definitely out of baseball. So what does baseball do? I mean, think about it. They shattered the home run record for a single season after all the drugs were out of baseball. Well, how'd they do that? Real simple. Major League Baseball took the seams way down, okay, and made the balls like super balls. And again, I'm not a physics guy, but I know one thing. When I used to fly my private jet, and I'd say my flaps go down, that obviously slows the plane down. So when them seams are not up, okay, and they're down and they're flush, balls are going to travel, okay? So, and that's what Major League Baseball just created that.
So with that being said, then, with launch angles and exit velocity and everything that we talk about now with sabermetrics and everything of Major League Baseball, if Ben and I put you in the commissioner's seat and we said, hey, you are now Rob Manfred, how would you execute the punishment to the Houston Astros for this 2020 season?
Another great question. First of all, that was a fucking joke, okay? Meaning, listen, I played in the big leagues 12 years. So let's play this out. Here we go. Ready? Okay, so I'm in the batter's box, okay? And so the pitcher shakes off, and he says, okay, he starts his windup. That means the guy in center field, whatever the fuck they got out there, has to number one, guess right, because they're not dumb. They change the sequence probably every other inning. So he has to guess right. Then they have to get it to the guy that's got the trash cans. And can you imagine hitting, like, where the fucking trash cans hit? Somebody bang the motherfuckers. Meaning, like, and the guy's in his windup. I mean, it looked like Manfred he needed something to do. And it's way out of control. I mean, people have been stealing signs since baseball has been around. I mean, but again, like, people think that happens. Impossible. I played the game. It's impossible. And when you get crossed up one time, as a hitter, you're gonna say, "Don't ever give me the signs again." You know, I got a funny story. Speaking of Houston, it happened in Houston. Remember Craig Biggio? He was he came up as a catcher.
Catcher, yeah.
So the first two, we had a weekend series there. The first two games, I was like 8-for-8, and then on Sunday, he says to me, "I'm leading off." He says, "Since we can't get you out when you don't know what's coming, I'm going to tell you every pitch that's coming, every at bat." And so now he's kind of fucking with me. So he says, "Here comes fastball right down the middle," and the pitcher throws a fastball right down the middle. Bottom line, long story short, he gave me every pitch, but because he fucked with my mind, I went 0-for-4.
Yeah, but Lenny,
that's how mental it is.
The Astro thing, though, Lenny, in the World Series video, you could see the setup, like, behind the dugout where they were relaying the signs. I mean, it was like they weren't even hiding it. They were right in your face. Like, they had this whole thing with the monitors and the whole deal. And there were even people on the internet that think that Altuve was wearing a buzzer.
I love it. That gets me fucking hard, man, hearing that.
See, I'm a Dodger fan, Lenny.
Oh, no, man.
I'm bothered by this, Lenny.
That pays $500,000 to fucking have umpires be followed around, okay? So, like I said, what Houston did, they just fucking get, that gets me off, man, because that's hard to do these days, trust me.
All right, Lenny, let's move on. Listen, the Hall of Fame, I got to ask you about this. Now, I know a lot of people say, who cares about Hall of Fame? But this is something that bothered me. You know, back in the day, in the peak of the steroid era, which you're familiar with, of course, you were part of it. But, like, you look at certain guys are allowed in the Hall of Fame, like Pudge Rodriguez, Mike Piazza, guys that are suspected of using PEDs. And then other guys like Bonds and Clemens are blacklisted from the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that, Lenny?
That's so funny, man. Like, no, you're no wonder your rating is so high, dude. You picked an area that I literally got escorted out by the Hall of Fame police because I went in there and I wanted to know. I said, "How are the three best players in the history of baseball not in the Hall of Fame?" I said, "Like, what's the fucking threshold? What makes somebody bad enough not to be in the Hall of Fame? So is it okay to beat your wife? is it okay to take amphetamines? Okay, what makes somebody bad enough? So I went off on them. I kept them. They wouldn't answer me because they don't have an answer. And like you said, everybody took amphetamines in the 70s and 80s. That's a fact, undisputed. Amphetamines are much more performance-enhancing than steroids because they get you up and you're playing every night and it's a rigorous schedule. But then when you combine the two like I did, then you have years like I have. Never mind. Anyway, but the bottom line is the Hall of Fame is a mess because, look, if they want to have a good guy, a Hall of Fame for the good guys, then that's fine, you know. But the Hall of Fame is supposed to be, at least I believe this, so what you do on the field. I mean, if you take Bond as his first 10 years where he played Pittsburgh, okay, until I showed him how to shoot steroids, and I take credit for that. We'll get back to that later. But the bottom line is they're fifth best overall, okay? Roger Clemens, I mean, this is a guy that beat the Feds, by the way, and that's impossible to do. Trust me, I know all about that. Okay, and so I couldn't get an answer from them because they don't have an answer. So I'm something's got to change there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Lanny, what about the drug usage itself with Bonds? Like what exactly did you help him with? You mentioned the steroids, but what exactly was he taking? I mean, I know there's a concoction of a couple different things, but what was in the cocktail?
Yeah, well, see, Bonds, I got to give him credit. See, so remember in Frisco, Candlestick, you had to walk, you know, you came out of like the clubhouse. You came out in right field and had to walk past the batting cage. So I'd always see, you know, him and Dusty Baker. You know, Dusty Baker is cool as fuck, man. Come on, any manager that wears wristbands, he got to love that. Bonds, he'd always say, you know, because, you know, I knew him from before, and I'd always say to him, he'd always say to me, dude, like, how are you doing this, man? Like, how are you staying this strong? I told him the whole story, you know, a decade of bowling. You know, a little bit of testosterone and some Sestron, and you're on your way, rock and roll. You know, and you walk into that box like you got a 15-inch cock, man. And the bottom line is the discipline Bonds had to wait. Okay, and I mean, if you think about the numbers this guy did, steroids or no steroids. Okay, I led the league in walks 2 years, two separate years. One time I had 120 or something, one time something like that. This motherfucker walked 287 times 1 year. 80 intentional. 70 or 80 intentional. Those are little league numbers, man. I mean, the bottom line is if you want to define Barry Bonds, you can do it two ways. Barry Bonds, the best player to ever put on a baseball uniform. Barry Bonds, the biggest dick to ever put on a baseball uniform.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, Lenny, who inspired you to do the steroids? Like, what point? I know you probably talked about this in the past, but I have not heard it. So, like, did somebody advise you, some other player, and tell you, hey, here's how you do it, or did you learn it on your own?
Another great question. Here's what happened. Davey Johnson, manager of the Mets, dum-dum, most overrated, under TV manager in the history of baseball. I finally got traded. We're playing the Phillies, and I'm writing at his kitchen because he kept platooning me. And I said, listen, man, I got to play. I mean, I can't just platoon bullshit. So after my second at bat, he says, you're done. Well, fuck you. I said, I'm not done. He said, no, you're done. You're done. So I go up in the clubhouse, and I get in there, and the great Harry Callis is unbelievable. I hear him say, a lot of action today at the vet, and his initials are LD. So I said, I just got fucking traded, man. So I'm sitting in my cubbyhole and after the game and waiting for a tap on the shoulder. I get it. And they say Davey wants to see you in his office. And so there's Joe McElvain in there too, you know, the nudist guy. but he was actually a pretty cool dude. So Davey Johnson just says, listen, we want to thank you for helping us win a World Series. We just traded you to the Philadelphia Phillies. I said, wait, the team in the other dugout? Do I meet him at home plate? What happens? So anyway, long story short, so I get there, and Lee Thomas is the general manager, and he's an awesome guy, and he says you're going to lead off every day. So I come out of the gates. I remember, I'm only 5'9", okay? I was 160 then. And I come out of the gates. I'm raking. I'm hitting 320, 330. And the bottom line is I physically did not have the stamina and the durability to last day in, day out over the grueling schedule. So I timbered, okay? I fell off far in 89. But Lee Thomas told me after the season, he said, listen, that was your first year, first time playing every day. You're going to lead off. We're going to give you 1990. You're going to lead off every night. You're not going to look at the lineup. So now I know 1990 is basically going to determine my life. I either have to get a real job or I'm going to make a lot of money. So I was living in Mississippi at the time. People do live there, actually. And I was living in Mississippi. I went to the library and I looked up. This is 1989. I looked up this guy, Ben Johnson, I found. He was the sprinter, the runner, who got caught with Winnie V. And so what I did is then I went to the Yellow Pages because I said to myself, like, I don't need something to help me play baseball. I can do that. I need something to help me last and stay strong enough to last 7 months. Because it is 7 months. You have spring training, then 6 months. So I found some hillbilly doctor in the Yellow Pages. I called him up, and I went in there, and I explained this, what I explained to you. I said, listen, I got a chance to make millions of dollars. I said, but I need something that's going to keep me strong and keep me durable so I can last. I'm a little guy, and I run around a lot. And I said, by the way, I didn't even know what he was going to give me. So he writes a prescription for me. He says, go to Rite Aid and fill it out. I'm going to get it filled and come back, and I'll show you how to do it. So I still don't know what it is. So turns out it's Decadurabolin. I wait in line at Rite Aid. Remember, it wasn't illegal then. It was 1989. I was way ahead of the curve. And I get my prescription filled in little vials. I walk back to his office. He's got a fucking harpoon waiting for me. Okay? he puts it in my ass. I hire a trainer. I work my ass off in the gym. I show up at spring training like Reggie Hammond did in that bar in 48 hours. There's a new sheriff in town, motherfuckers, and it ain't Reggie Hammond. It's Lenny fucking Dykstra. So I came in like a Greek statue of 190, and coincidence, I hit 325 that year. I'm on the cover of Sports Illustrated, hit 400 in June. I think not, okay? They work. And I told Major League Baseball, their problem wasn't the drugs, it was steroids, because they help you make more money. And anytime money's involved, people make bad decisions, okay? Or decisions that they wouldn't normally make, okay? And so that's what happened. What were you going to do? Let the guy next to you take him and let him, and you say, I'm a good guy, I'm not going to do it. So you get fired and he makes $30 million. So basically, everybody was taking them when we were taking them, but now they're all off them now.
Well, Lenny, what about this though? Because you mentioned the off season conditioning, but the 7 months, you got 162 games, spring training, and possibly postseason. So, what was your daily regimen? Because were you stacking it with anything else? Like, were you taking any human growth hormone or protein? Like, what was your diet and your exercise regimen?
Yeah,
because I can imagine you're gassed.
Well, I was a fucking chemist, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that my highest average in all the stadiums was Houston. Because, see, remember, I knew the game was never going to be, there's never going to be rain delays. See, so, when you're on the shit, so the regimen was this, okay? I'd wake up or maybe come to, like, about 12 o'clock, okay? And first thing I'd do is whoever was next to me, I'd drop 30 milligram dextrodrine. Adderall wasn't in then. It was a time release of dextrodrine. And then I'd take another one about, I don't know, 5 for BP. And then I take the little hearts, the little orange ones, the kickers, okay? And on the steroid part, you know, I would, I was doing that, you know, weekly. That's in 1993. 1990, I started, but 93, I really loaded up and had a year that nobody's really had before. But that was my regimen, and am I telling kids to do that? No. Am I proud of what I did on the field? Yeah. Would I do it the same way? Yeah. You know why? Because I had to. I had to. If I didn't do that, I would have had to take a, you know, get a real job and you know, take orders from somebody and live the life that 80% of the people live out there, and that is the husband gets up, he goes to the job that he hates, gets back in his car, home to his miserable wife, eats her shitty food, they don't fuck, gets up in the morning, they do it again. I can't wait. Yay. Where do I sign up? Fuck that, man.
Well, so with that being said then, Lenny, can you take us through the darkest moment of your professional career, whether it was in the field of play or off-season activity?
It's another great question, man. You guys are asking some great questions. What if we get in the pussy? But I don't think you have enough time for that. But anyways, the darkest moment was 1995. Okay. I'm leading off the All-Star game, okay, against Randy Johnson, the Creature. And somehow I battle my ass off and work a walk. And, you know, Felipe Alou, the manager at the time, and he said, listen, the only sign, only thing we're doing is no signs, but you're running 3-1, 3-2. And so I somehow battle and get a walk first at bat, you know, playing in Texas, you know. And Bond is in third. The next guy makes it out. And then Bond gets 3-1. I look at the first base coach, am I running? He says, yeah. So I don't want to get picked off. So, you know, I go. Bond takes a fucking cock shot. Pudge Rodriguez throws a rocket down. And the ball's waiting for me. Talk about the jog of shame. And then we got in the outfield. And I said to Bonds, I said, you know what, motherfucker? Instead of just pitching around you, I'm going to tell my pitchers I'll drill you in the fucking neck, you fucking dick. You know, because he hung me out to dry. You see, but what happened there is the darkest moment, that wasn't it. That was a light moment. The darkest moment, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this, was when usually you only get like a couple of bats in the All-Star game because they have to play the other guys. I actually wanted to come out of the All-Star game because I was on so many pills and I was so fucked up at that time. And, you know, I was having to take, you know, 30 pain pills a night. And I remember when the game ended or what happened. I think I might have played the whole game, you know, and I didn't even want to play, which is crazy because that's what I loved it, but it was all because of the drugs. And I got in my limousine, and I laid down in my limousine right in the parking lot of Texas, and I said to myself, wow. Is this it, man? Is this really it? And I said, fuck it. So what I did after that is I went to Israel and I did this special treatment and haven't taken an opiate since. Because we have an opiate epidemic out there, but that's how bad it was. And it was that bad. And that's when the switch came on, you know? So that was pretty dark and sad, actually, you know?
Yeah, that's wild. Hey, Lenny, I want to go back. The famous Howard Stern interview you did a couple years ago, how did that change your life? That was legendary. That was internet fame. You were talking about your amazing skills in the
business. Yeah, it's still amazing. I mean, I'm an artist, bro. I mean, see, I thought God put me on the earth to entertain people on the baseball field because I was actually pretty good at it.
Sure.
But that wasn't my calling. And I realized that he put me on earth to help women. You see, that's what I do. I'm a giver. I give back. And so It's the truth, you know. I mean, come on, dude. Who else gets their teeth taken out to do their artwork? Okay, that's somebody dedicated to this profession. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, Lenny. But the women, what's it like? You're getting up there in age now. Is you still getting the younger women, Lenny? Everything good with that?
Huh? Oh yeah. Got a couple parked next door actually. The bottom line is, here's the deal. I mean, I can't even watch a fucking game anymore. If I watch a game, I like to fucking. Oh, there's another one of my fucking kids. Fuck. I mean, but now that I'm older, like, and I have to take a dick pill, I have to fucking do this, I have to do that. I can't come, and if I do come, it's like fucking dust, you know? Fucking somebody will think a murder's going on. So I'm basically at the point of now just hearing these words, and I'm good. When I hear these words, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm fucking straight. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a thrill to kill. I mean, I've made so many deposits, it's like that's not even the deal anymore. You know what I mean?
But Lenny,
if you don't know what I mean. But
maybe a giver, Lenny. Lenny, you're a giver. You give back to the female. I love that, Lenny. Go ahead, yes, guy.
That's right, brother. That's right. I'm a giver, man. I gave back the second I gave back to my team. I took a lot of pitches, played the game right, you know. And when the game would end, I'd always go. First thing I do is go beeline it right to my club, my locker, and I'd sit down and I'd ask myself, if I were a fan, would I have paid money to watch me play tonight? And so I judge myself every night. And every night, with the exception of one night, the answer was always yes, even if I took an 0-for-4.
Well, Lenny, outside of the game of baseball, you mentioned taking your hacks. So can you give us, like, not a typical night, but one of those nights, it doesn't matter the city, the country, like, how would you get yourself juiced up, no pun intended, but juiced up for a night when you had an itch where it's like, you're out partying.
Yeah, no, it was another great question. No, you guys are on point. So what I did is again, I've always been ahead of the curve, okay? I mean, you know, I've always, you know, kind of been somebody that got ahead of the curve, and I had to because, you know, I was a little guy and I did my thing. So what I did is I didn't stay at the team hotel. Okay, this is when I was at the Phillies. You know, the Mets, I was a younger guy. I just did, you know, glad to be there. But when I went to the Phillies, you know, I never stayed at the team hotel one season. I went, you know, starting in 90. I had my boys take out the presidential suite as the best hotel in the city, and I'd have them bring the bar to the suite because I got hit by a lot of pitches, but not that many. You're in a bar fucking trying to scream and talk, and you're wasting time. And see, we can buy a lot of things with our money, but we can't buy time. So what I would do is have my boys get to the town and you know, have everything set up so when the game would be over, everything was waiting for me, okay? That's called robes and room service, my friends, okay? And the only difference, the only town that was the worst town on the circuit was Pittsburgh. So I told my guys, I said, you dumb motherfuckers, bunch of coal miners' daughters here. What you need to do is run a couple of U-Hauls, back them up to the University of Pitt, and say, all fucking alcohol's free, getting drugs free, come on to this party. And the next thing I know, Pittsburgh went from the worst to the best. You know? That's how we roll, man.
What about in your off season though? Like, if you went to Europe or Asia, like, is there any particular city or country that was your favorite that, I mean, you went balls to the walls no matter what?
Man, you guys are really hitting me good with these questions, man. This is the one thing that I'm really not proud of, but it was actually genius. I mean, it was fucking genius. You know, and so, look, I'm not proud of the way I live. I mean, I had a great wife, I was used to travel, being on the move, so the off season would come and I'd get bored. And so the first way I started, I'd go to New York. I was just in Philly, and I'd say I'd seen a shrink, and you know, so I'd buy a couple of nights and be able to do my thing. And that shrink, by the way, talking about ripoffs, all he wanted to do was hear my pussy stories. Unbelievable. And so, but then I said, this is something gotta be better. So I had my own plane and I had a Gulfstream. So what I did is I came up with a story. Hey, listen, there's a new rehab in Paris. Okay. I want to try this out and you know, see if I can get better. And the bottom line is it was so genius. I had one of my boys or the people I thought were my friends, go pay for it. And so, everyone thought I was going there. But the bottom line is I bought 30 days of fucking partying, dude, flying around the fucking, in my jet in Europe, from Monte Carlo to fucking Italy. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of people that have had more money and got more money than me, but nobody knew how to party like me, okay? And you can believe that.
Well, yeah, the whole 86 minutes.
By the way, I hit six countries, just so you know.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Lenny, I got to ask you now, if you were playing today, now it's changed a lot since you were playing, because now everything's on social media. It seems like guys are chasing the ladies on Instagram, and that's the playground. Like, how would you do if you were playing for the Mets or the Phillies today with the ladies? Would you do the same? You couldn't do it the same way, right? You'd have to change your game up a little bit.
Yeah, you do. So I've already helped players do this. So what happens is players, they all get caught. They don't know how to, like I said, you got to know how to maneuver. I mean, like the first thing you got to learn is you can't bring anything home to the wife, okay? So, I tweeted this out the other day about, again, being ahead of the curve. I would take 5 amoxicillin every day. Way over the prescribed dose. You're not supposed to take it every day. But for me, it was like having a sniper run into my fucking cock, okay? I mean, that's fucking genius. I built like a moat around my fucking cock, okay? So, but what I'm saying is when we ask that question, what would I do today? What I did do is so these players, they always get caught because they don't know how to do it. I said, look, we're going to create a real estate fund, okay? And you can invest, you want to invest $500,000, okay, put it in there, and that's your pussy money, okay? See, ahead of the curve again. See, now they don't have to keep deciding what credit card should I use, put this, that. You got, depending on how big you want to go and what kind of ammunition and what kind of, partner or whatever they are, But that's how you do it. See, is that genius again? Fucking A, man. Come on, man. This is good shit here, man. This is real life shit.
It's quality information, Lenny. You are educating
quality
the masses.
Quality information. That's what I'm about. Yeah.
You were like a.
And again, yeah, man. The most valuable commodity I know of is information, and I'm giving out some information today. And these fucking players better pick it up and learn from it. They sure the fuck haven't learned from the way you're supposed to play baseball. I guarantee that.
Lenny, are you a political guy? Like, are you fascinated by the either love or hate of President Trump?
Yeah, I know Trump pretty good, man. It's amazing how I don't know one woman that might say, you can't even say likes him, but can even. I mean, for some reason they all hate him. But I think Trump's done a fucking good job. Trump's a fucking. He's no pussy, man. But, you're hearing all these conspiracy things out there about what's going on with this, with people getting ready to be arrested, and supposedly Tom Hanks and Ellen DeGeneres and all this crazy shit. But, yeah, I know Trump and, I remember Trump invited me to the U.S. Open. He had a suite. He invited me there to watch the U.S. Open finals. And I walked in there, and there was Lenny Kravitz, and there was P. Diddy or P. Daddy. I don't know what his name is now, something like that. Whatever. Both of them were cool as shit. So that's three. And then here comes in, Trump walks in. He knows everything about us. He's looking us right in the eyes. He was calm, meaning the guy, he's got a photographic memory. I don't think he's ever had a drink in his life. And so, you know, the whole campaign, like when I heard he was winning, because I didn't want to watch it, because I couldn't imagine that fucking bitch Hillary Clinton being in there. I would have moved to fucking Somalia, okay? But Trump's a politician, but he's also got some brass balls. So, I mean, he's the best guy we got right now. I don't know about you, how you guys feel, but I mean, he's done pretty good so far.
Now, he was a Yankee fan, right? Did you guys ever hang out and party together? I mean, you mentioned the U.S. Open, but how well did you know Trump? Like, did you guys talk?
Yeah,
often?
I mean, I didn't, not party. He invited me to Mar-a-Lago a couple times, and we had some conversations. But I remember when he invited me to Mar-a-Lago, man. And by the way, I've never been a guy. I never fucked around with like wives, or I've always had my own rules, or friends, girls, or you know, just it always ends bad. But when I saw that fucking Marla Maples, man, and man, wow, what a fucking queen! And like, I did a double take, man. I mean, I think she had a real rack, okay, from Georgia. But I think he kind of dissed her a little bit. I think he threw her under the bus. And so we didn't, you know, when we say hang out, you didn't really hang out with Trump, but he was a politician then, you know, and took it to the highest level. And like I said, I mean, the thought of Hillary Clinton, by the way, who's a stone cold killer, okay, the thought of that bitch being in the fucking White House, oh my God, fuck. I mean, could you imagine?
It would definitely be different.
Yeah, if there is a God up there, I think that motherfucker.
All right. Lenny, let me follow up. Now, I know Trump, since he became president, he still talks to Don King and some other people. Has he talked to you? Would you consider, if he offered a job on some panel in Washington, some BS sports panel, would you take it, Lenny?
I got something better than that. I'm going to get pardoned by Trump.
Really?
Fucking A. And I'm also going to get pardoned by the state of California for this bullshit thing they came up with.
Lenny, explain to me how does it work? Like, you obviously had some legal jeopardy and some problems, but like, do you contact? Has he contacted you? You've obviously reached out to him. How's this process work? If you want to, I have no idea. Educate me on what the pardon thing, how it works.
You know, the pardon thing is about the crazy crime they charged me when they hit me for bankruptcy fraud when I sold a piece of furniture for $700, which was nothing to do with bankruptcy fraud. It was me catching some very powerful people doing some very bad things, like J.P. Morgan. But you can Google it right now, and you'll say Lenny likes to sue J.P. Morgan, and it'll say in Google, it'll say Lenny likes to sue J.P. Morgan for $100 million. So I caught J.P. Morgan, I caught a judge, I caught six lawyers and a bunch of other people and trustees, all doing some very, very illegal things, and went after them. And what happened by doing that is this big organization called the federal government scooped me up. And when they scooped me up, it's not just a normal scoop up, man. You would have thought they were fucking capturing Osama bin Laden, dude. Motherfuckers coming out of trees, and I didn't even know what was going on. And so they put me in the cooler, and they left me in the cooler with no bail, okay, with no crime. I mean, I was in the jail for 7 days, but nobody knew where I was. I mean, I think we have this thing called a constitution, don't we, where they can't keep you in there unless they charge you with a crime? They let you free, like, after 48 hours? But anyways, I'm not whining. I'm not, you know, here to bitch about that. That's just the truth, cold hard truth. I'll get pardoned by Trump because that whole story is it'll get out there. It'll get out there.
Lenny, you're 57 now, right?
With mileage, bro.
With mileage. That's why I wanted to ask you. How the fuck did you get to 40?
Well, it's all about number one, it's all about, see, because it was prescription, see, that's okay. See, a doctor prescribed that to me, you see. Now, the Keith Richards and the stuff like that, well, the Keith Richards, that's by the way, that's legendary now in the National and American League. That was our code name for Blow, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones, he looks like the line of Blow. So, like, you're around the batting cage, you can't say who's got the Blow. So it was like, hey, is Richards in the house? And, but I was never one to do much of that, you know, maybe one off a chick's tit or something like that. So I was more into the, I didn't like the street drugs. I was more into the prescribed, FDA approved. Because, see, that was okay, even though I took maybe more than was, like, I was supposed to. I did have five guys on the payroll going to the doctors. But that's what you got to do. I did what I had to do, man. It's now the ugliest drug in the world to me, and that's obviously the opiates, meaning, and when I say opiates, you know, opiates are painkillers. Anything that has to do with you know, if you want to, opiates are the bottom line is you're in the same car going down the same road with the same destination if you get trapped in that opiate world. Meaning, and by the way, on that road, there's no like exits. You can't say, hey, you know what? I feel like shit. I want to get off. No, no, motherfucker. You're going to pay. Because at the end of that road, it's called dead end. Okay, and you're going to get there. And if you want to get there faster, take heroin. If you want to get there slower, take Vicodin. So I remember in 1993, you know, all my teammates would be drinking like 15 beers after a game, and I just couldn't do it. I was a leadoff hitter, and I told the trainer, I said, listen, man, I can't. I had, you know, surgeries, and I was playing every night. We were dominating, and I said, there's got to be something you can give me. So he gives me one little white pill, okay, which happened to be a Vicodin 5-milligram pill, which I put in my fucking cereal, you know, after that. But I took that one pill, had one drink, and fucking showed up, man. And I said to myself, I fucking beat these motherfuckers again. I reinvented the wheel. I found the fucking combination, the recipe. Yeah. Now, go back to that story we talked about in 1995 in the All-Star game, okay? And so what happens is with opiates, you cross an imaginary, there's an imaginary line. It's different for everybody. But once you become dependent on them and your endorphins stop and shut down and you're solely dependent on the opiate, see, it's the opiate withdrawal that is so bad. And unless you've been through it, unless someone has been through it, there's no explaining the pain. I'm not a pussy either, okay? I could not get off of those motherfuckers. That's why I ended up going to Israel to get off of them. I was the second person in the world to do a treatment called rapid detox. But you know, I haven't touched one since because, you know, like I said, and we have an opiate epidemic out there. Anybody out there taking opiates, get stopped right now because it ends fucking bad. Trust me, it doesn't end good.
I hear you. Lenny, we're up against it, as they say. I want to have you on again, though. I'm fascinated. I wanted to have you on a couple years ago. I want you to know, my guy, Eddie, who I do the radio show with, he's like afraid of you. He's scared of you. And I was like, well, you can't be afraid of Lenny. Lenny, you're not going to.
Really? You guys do the late night show, right?
Yeah, we do the overnight show, yeah.
Yeah, that's right when I'm peaking, too. So fucking it's perfect.
Exactly. Hey, you got anything to plug, Lenny? We got to get you like a reality show or something, Lenny. We got to get you something.
Yeah, man. Look, the only thing to plug is that, you know, the bottom line is you know, everybody out there is in a major panic right now with the coronavirus, and for good reason, because there's so much uncertainty. But it will pass, okay? I mean, we're going to go in a recession. There's going to be a lot of problems, but time will pass. And just remember that every day above ground is a good fucking day, okay? That's how I look at life, okay? So it will pass, but the panic is out there, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But the reality is that you're going to be okay. You hang with nails, you know, stick with nails 24/7. Best time to get a hold of me. You guys know that, right? You want to call me, have me on again? You call me, you got my number, I'm ready.
Awesome. Hey, Lenny, be good, man. Be healthy. Thank you, sir.
You got it, man. I enjoyed it. Thank you guys a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lenny.
Bye-bye.